Here's Andy Udman.
We have hundreds, I suspect thousands of people right here in London who have MS. I know some of them. Pam, what is our guest this morning, Dr. Terry Wall, suggesting?
Dr. Terry Walls is suggesting that the disease, MS, is curable.
Less than half of us take in enough B vitamins, vitamin C, and vitamin A. Now, if you look at the top half of the slide, you'll see that two-thirds of us do not take in enough calcium, magnesium, zinc, or iodine, and that 80% do not take in enough omega-3 fats.
And I think when you give the body what it needs, many, many, many of the chronic diseases we see out there today are indeed curable. I myself had chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and I was able to overcome these conditions.
You are all starving yourselves. We are alive because of complicated chemical reactions. If you're not providing the building blocks, that is the vitamins, minerals, essential fats, those reactions cannot happen properly.
So there's many, many initiatives people can take to overcome their illnesses, but unfortunately today, most people are programmed to believe that once they have a label, it's for life.
Wait a minute. Pam has said some outrageous things over the years, but this one's right at the top. In fact, I'm thinking of three people I know who have MS, and if they heard what they just heard, they would say, Andy, are you over the top? Are you getting enough air there in that studio with Ryan? MS is curable, Pam Colleen?
Yes, absolutely.
And well, you say it in an insulting way. People are saying, wait a minute, Pam Colleen, I have MS, and I'm insulted by that. You're saying it's curable? What,
yes.
I just got to go jogging for a mile every day?
Well, I wish it were that simple.
I just got to eat rutabagas and radishes?
When you give the body what it needs, it can heal. And it's unfortunate, though, that people are not getting the correct information to know what to do in order to heal.
Okay, let's take the bigger picture. Do you believe that you can eat your way to good health out of other diseases?
Yes, absolutely. Diabetes, heart disease, cancer, any chronic disease that's out there today, virtually, depending on the individual. I mean, there's no incurable diseases. There's really incurable people. And unfortunately, the advice that people are getting today is the incorrect advice. So they can spin their wheels for years and stay sick for years and years and years until they can get some half-decent information.
You see, Ryan, Pam has more fans than any guest I bring on, but she also generates the most hate mail. Steve calls her the crazy lady.
Well, I like that last comment. There are no incurable diseases. There are only incurable people. That should be put on a T-shirt.
Wow. No kidding. I was just going to say the same thing. Let's hear it again, Ryan. You've got it memorized already.
There are no incurable diseases. There are only incurable people.
Imagine them putting that on a banner on the front of the Victoria Hospital down here in Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
But the
people need to get the correct information, and they're not getting the correct information.
I know, but
that's the frustrating part.
You say it in a manner, well, if you just used your brain, I mean, that's so obvious.
But it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's because the information they're getting is oftentimes the information that is making them sick.
You know what's so darn annoying about you, Pam Colleen, is you have all these friends and experts who've done all this research, and they all agree with you, like our guest this morning.
Right. So I'm thrilled this morning to have a medical doctor on the show, Dr. Terry Walls, and she is the author of a new book, which is launching today. Today is the actual official launch date.
Wait a minute.
How'd
you get her today? She's got a thousand other interviews.
She's lined up like crazy. We're so lucky to get her today. She is a very, very busy lady today. But her book is entitled The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine. So welcome. Glad you could join us this morning, Dr. Walls.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Wow. We're thrilled to have you on the day that you're launching your book. Let's give the message of your book in 10 seconds. What is it?
That eating is critical and lifestyle is critical to restoring your health, whatever your underlying condition is.
And what about Pam's outrageous statement that that there's no disease that's incurable, it's people who are incurable?
So we are alive because of self-correcting chemistry. And when the chemistry stops, we die. When the chemistry is happening incorrectly, that leads the seeds to damage to our cells, which then damages our organs, which then leads to chronic disease.
And doctor, I think what's really, and let me just interrupt if I could, what's really incredible, I've been watching your videos all morning, is not the fact that you're a Taekwondo champion, not the fact that you're an author selling a book, not the fact that you are a doctor and you have all these credentials. It's the fact that you are talking about yourself. You have walked through this valley.
Yes.
You've been sick.
You know, and I'm grateful. Had I not developed this progressive disease, become profoundly disabled, I wouldn't have taken the time to relearn all this science and discover the real root cause of disease and health and how we can best address that.
Now let's talk about how sick you were. You have pictures on your website showing you were in a wheelchair. You were confined to a wheelchair. So talk about this transformation.
Summer of 2007, I could walk short distances using two walking sticks. I had severe fatigue. I could not sit up for longer than 10 or 15 minutes because my back muscles were so fatigued. If I did, I would soon be so exhausted that I'd have to lay down for several hours. So I spent most of my time at work in a recliner in a zero-gravity chair with my knees higher than my nose. And that's how I was able to continue working. I was having a lot of cognitive decline. I needed to keep a detailed notebook with what I needed to do that day to keep track of stuff. I was losing my keys, my phone. My family and I had realized I'd likely have to finally go out on disability in the coming year because work was just getting so very difficult.
Let me ask you this. Is there an embarrassment? I mean, all of us, when we go to the doctor, I mean, ideally, the doctor walks in and the doctor is the picture of good health. That gives you confidence. I remember seeing a naturopath in Port Huron years ago, and he was about 75 years old, but he looked like he was 50. So even before he moved his lips, you had confidence in him. Is there a certain embarrassment at being in a wheelchair and being sick and not being able to remember your keys when you're a doctor?
Life was difficult, but I was trying very hard to be as positive as I could be, given a very difficult circumstance.
And you were you teaching at the time? You're a professor of medicine at University of Iowa?
So I was teaching medicine residents in their continuity of care clinics at that time. And I was doing clinical research also at that time.
Doctor, what was the moment when you had the epiphany, when you suddenly realized that all that stuff you had been learning in medical school for years and years and years wasn't helping you, but something else was?
You know, this will be really quite surprising. So, you know, in 2007, I discovered functional medicine. I'm redesigning my diet. Then in early 2008, thanks to the diet, meditation, neuromuscular electrical stimulation, and my exercise program, you know, I begin improving really quite dramatically. But it's not until, I'd say, 6 months into this, I'm already walking around without a cane, but because I had so accepted that this is a progressive disorder, that once you hit secondary progressive MS, there is no recovery, that functions once lost are gone forever. And I'd resigned myself to that I didn't yet let myself believe that what I was seeing was going to last. But it was on Mother's Day in 2008, I rode my bike for the first time in, you know, I think 6 years, around the block. My family, you know, was there. They were running alongside me to make sure I didn't get hurt. And at the end, we're all crying, we're sobbing because this is such a momentous, miraculous moment. And that's when I began to realize that life was changing, that perhaps I really could recover, that I had no idea how much I might be able to improve, that, in fact, I might, with enough time, get fully, you know, functional, fully back to normal. And that's when I really, how I saw disease and health completely upended. And it really changed who I was as a person, who I was as a clinical doctor, and ultimately it would change who I am as a clinical research scientist. Because now I've upended my research program, and I study diet and lifestyle as treatments now.
How many people told you you were nuts?
Well, you know, when I first started talking to the public, and then I did a grand rounds to my Department of Internal Medicine. My physician colleagues said, you know, one case, so what? You know, it's an unpredictable disease. We really need to see, will this help anyone else? And it's like, well, of course. So we assembled a team, wrote a research protocol, wrote a grant, got funding, and are doing the clinical research. Our first paper is out. And because I am at the Carver College of Medicine, every year we have two big research days where we're representing and presenting our research. My colleagues have seen our research program develop, unfold. They've seen our preliminary data. And so now people are very excited, very intrigued. I have more people asking to join my study, and I'm now writing grants with other scientists proposing to study my protocol in other disease states.
This is absolutely incredible news. I have shivers up and down my spine. I mean, you're in communication with a lot of people who have been diagnosed with MS. You have a busy blog and, you know, you have the patients that are part of the study. What are you observing when people switch over and start using more whole foods in their diet?
Let me talk about the clinical practice. So in primary care, you know, we see diabetes, obesity, heart disease, other autoimmune conditions, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, inflammatory bowel disease, mental health issues. In all of these, you know, easily 70 to 95% of why they became ill is diet and lifestyle. So teaching them that connection and having those people understand why diet and lifestyle are so key, and then getting them started on the diet and lifestyle changes I talk about in my book. I see people come back in 3 months. People are overweight. The weight's dropping very easily. They're telling me they're not hungry. They have more energy, more vitality, greater mental clarity. The guys are coming with beaming because they're telling me their love life is better. The folks struggling with autoimmune issues are having fewer symptoms, more energy. And we see this time and time again in the clinical practice.
But why is it so slow to spread the news? I mean, I've been studying nutrition and natural health since I collapsed in my early 20s. And it's just been frustrating for me to see how slow this is to get out, this information.
Well, you know, actually, in some ways, this is happening at breathtaking speed. When you look at the discovery that vitamin C could prevent scurvy, that took 200 years. And that was in the 1700s. Now, that was earlier than that, I think more like the 1500s, that sea change happened. If we look, when I was in medical school, I was taught that stomach ulcers were due to excess acid in the stomach, and people had a lot of stomach surgery because of the ulcers. And then we had this crazy guy, Marshall, who said, no, stomach ulcers are due to a bacterial infection. He couldn't get his first papers published. They thought he was a nut. It was just completely outrageous. And within 20 years, this guy gets a Nobel Prize in medicine because we now realize he was right. What is happening now is because of the internet, social media, and people like yourself and myself that are taking the message to the public, and in my case, at the same time that I'm doing the clinical research, so the public can look at this and say, well, here's the story, here's the evidence. It doesn't look like a life-threatening, too risky of a intervention to try. I'll give it a try and see what my experience is. And if they have a favorable experience, they too begin writing, blogging, talking about it in their social media. And so it spreads.
Doctor, I have to jump in because we have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to ask you this question. You say that through good nutrition, you have eaten your way to good health. Just give them something to think about during the break. What other diseases do you believe the same theory applies to?
All chronic diseases.
Wow.
Mental health problems, diabetes, obesity, autoimmune problems. Diet and lifestyle account for 70 to 95% of the risk of getting the disease and why the disease is going to be resistant to therapy, we're very easily controlled.
In other words, we're eating our way into disease, but the good news is we can eat our way out. What a message. Dr. Terry Walls back with Pam Colleen in just a moment, right after the break, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Farm Boy, already a go-to supermarket for many in eastern Ontario who want their food fresh and locally produced.
For London, one of the things we're getting to be a little proactive, we're actually going out and searching out the vendors locally so that we can open with more local products.
There are already a few other stores in London selling local fresh produce, but Farm Boy believes there is room for more.
The plan right now is to jump over Toronto and go into southwestern Ontario because we think it's got a similar demographics to Ottawa in eastern Ontario.
We're in conversation with author Dr. Terry Walls, who is releasing her new book today, and we'll talk to her about it. Dr. Walls, I want to tell you, the reason I played that particular clip, there is a grocery store chain in eastern Ontario called Farm Boy, and they focus on local, they focus on fresh, they focus on organic. They were thinking of going to Toronto, but when they heard that Pam Colleen has the whole London area so whipped up about good, nutritious, nutrient-dense foods, they said, no, we're going to skip Toronto, we're going to go right to London, Ontario, and they're opening in a few weeks. Are you seeing across North America a new appreciation for the power of food to make you well?
Yes. Yeah, I certainly see that in my physician colleagues, more and more interest, and I certainly find that in my practice. Patients are much more open and interested in hearing about diet and lifestyle choices. When I go to our local grocers here, the produce people will come up to me and thank me because the intake of greens and fresh vegetables, at least in the Iowa City area, have dramatically increased ever since I've been talking so much about the critical role of food, greens, and why to eat organic, in that food is how we create health or create disease, depending on our choices.
Pam wants to ask you a question, but I want to ask you one first, and that is this. To make it really simple, and that's for the listeners who've just joined us, because that happens constantly during the program, let's make this really, really simple. No chemistry, no biochemistry, no medical school stuff. You had MS. You were in a wheelchair in 2007. Today, What's the state of your health, and how did you get here?
Walk easily. As a matter of fact, last week, for my 20-minute session on the treadmill, was a combination of walking and jogging. I continue to improve. My physical therapist keeps advancing my exercises. And this is due to diet, 9 cups of vegetables, 3 cups of greens, 3 cups of sulfur-rich vegetables, cabbage family, onion family, mushroom family, 3 cups of deeply colored beets, berries, grass-fed meat, organ meat, seaweed, everything as fresh, in season, and organic as one's budget allows, daily meditation, daily exercise. I also did neuromuscular electrical stimulation using the Continuum manufactured by EMPI, which is a handheld device, and an exercise program that then advanced as my strength improved.
And to put it simply, you're asking everybody to essentially, in simple terms, avoid those middle aisles in a grocery store, correct?
Yes. Go eat vegetables, berries, meat, fish. Get rid of the grains. Get rid of the sugar. Get rid of these pro-inflammatory foods. Do a meditative practice, lower your stress, move your body. For people who are severely debilitated, electrical stimulation can help with that. So it's really diet and lifestyle.
Let me ask you about the one word you used, which intrigued me, because 2 days ago I shared a story about Dan Harris on ABC News sharing the horrible moment in his life when he had a meltdown on the air and he panicked. And he talked about this voice in his head, which told him, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And then he said, tomorrow night I'll share with you how I cured myself. And last night he shared how he cured himself, and the key word was meditation. You just mentioned meditation. Is meditation in the context of this nutritional regimen? Is it an added bonus? Is it a side order? What is it?
It's really very helpful. In my clinical trials, we get people who are doing the diet very well, and then they sort of get stalled out. Typically, when we investigate, talk with them about what's going on, it's unresolved stress issues. And helping them resume their meditative practice, deal with the unresolved family conflict or conflict with their boss, they get back to their steady improvement again.
Now,
stress, chronic high stress, is actually very toxic to brain cells. It's very inflammatory. So you can't ignore it. We all have to have some strategy for dealing with that.
We've been slowly getting back to the truth about diet and the importance of animal fat in the diet. You talked about grass-fed beef and the importance of that in the diet. But a lot of people have trouble believing that this is a health food. A lot of people still believe that fatty animal foods joined the dark side. And that's what's really made us sick over these last several decades. We've been avoiding these foods. And you're giving people permission. You're giving them the green light to go back to these traditional foods.
You know, and in the book, I talk a lot about fat. And I want to remind all of our listeners that every one of our cells is wrapped in something called a cell membrane. And that membrane is made up of saturated fat, cholesterol, omega-3 fats, omega-6 fats, in very specific ratios. And we need to be eating saturated fat, cholesterol, omega-3, omega-6 fat, in order to make the appropriate wrapper for all of our cells. If we don't have those fats on hand, the wrapper doesn't work as well, and our cells don't work as well, and that will lead to disease. It's just critical that we have fats so we can wrap our cells and function in a healthy manner.
Doctor, I don't get much hate mail, but if I do, I know it's about Pam Colleen, and often it's focused on, if I hear the phrase animal fat one more time, I'm going to throw up. And yet, Pam, what is really, really encouraging is that almost weekly, if not daily now, we're seeing mainstream media preaching the same message. And recently, we saw a dramatic example
in
the Globe and Mail.
That's right. So we have a clinical pharmacist in New York who published something in Open Heart, which is a subsidiary of the British Medical Journal. And the title of that Globe and Mail article was "Cutting Out Saturated Fat Doesn't Help Health." So now we have another researcher coming forward to say we've been wrong. We've been duped about avoiding animal fats over these last, say, 4 or 5 decades.
And there was another report just days ago which suggests that there's now a new test which can act as an indicator that you are about to develop Alzheimer's disease. And I just laughed out loud because I thought if only Pam could hear this. It had to do with the amount of animal fats in your blood. So, Doctor, what you were saying earlier, people are starting to get the message.
Yes, it is so, so exciting. When I look at that article in terms of the fat levels that predict, are you going to get dementia, Alzheimer's, or not? You know, what I want your listeners to understand is the fat levels in our blood respond to what we eat. So if you have an unfavorable fat profile that increases your risk for Alzheimer's, the solution is to eat the appropriate ratios of fats. To get the saturated fat, to get the cholesterol, to get the omega-3 and the omega-6 fats. And that's why it's my fat conversation is such an important part of my book.
There was a line in one of your videos, which I watched earlier this morning, I thought was profound, and you were showing what some of us might call jungle people, Neanderthals, people who lived centuries ago. And you're saying they knew more about nutrition and good health than our doctors today. Explain what you mean by that.
Okay, so when we do a analysis of the diet of traditional hunter-gatherer societies who are still eating their wild foods, their intake of vitamins and essential fats, minerals, are 1.5 to 10 times what the recommended daily allowance for that nutrient is, depending on which nutrient you're talking about. And when we analyze the standard American diet, of course, you know, we have 2/3 of us not getting enough minerals, half not getting enough B vitamins, vitamin C, and vitamin A. When I created my diet plans, I had the 31 vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, fats that I knew science says brain cells need to thrive. So we tracked those, and I created the diet plans in iterative fashion, then tested them, doing a research quality analysis of the menus to confirm that we got those 31 nutrients. And what I think is so exciting is that my nutrient profile exceeds the RDAs 9-fold, just like the hunter-gatherers who are still eating wild foodstuffs. Now, the Keltons did a analysis of, you know, the standard American diet, the Atkins diet, several paleo diets, South Beach diets, and they saw that paleo diets were much better than the standard American diet, but the modern paleo diet still would not meet all of the RDAs. Our diet does, because it was very intentionally designed, and I give people more clear instructions how to design their diet so they can be confident they're flooding their cells with the nutrition that they need and that they'll exceed the RDAs 2 to 10-fold, depending on which nutrient we're talking about.
You know what I find so ironic? I'm going to watch Pam's face when I use this phrase, and I want to ask her to react to this phrase, and then you. The very people who we trust to make us better, the people in our hospitals, our doctors and nurses, cringe when we say this. But, Pam, your reaction to the phrase, hospital food.
I mean, the sickest of the sick. These are people who are convalescing. And look at the food that they get, things like margarine and Jell-O and skim milk or juice. I mean, it's the most nutrient-deficient food you could imagine.
Doctor?
Sadly, have to agree. Now, more hospitals are allowing patients to select like a menu, which is good. The person gets to select foods that they want to eat. What is sad is no one's training the patient how to select the most nutrient-dense food, the most healing foods. And so they'll continue the nutrient-poor diet that they were eating at home.
Doctor, we do have to take one more short break. When we come back, I want to put you to the test. You said that you have eaten your way to good health from MS, and you've recovered through nutrition, through what you put in your mouth. Then I asked you the question, what other diseases does that apply to? I want to ask you about those other diseases and get you to comment on each one and how good nutrition can bring you back to good health for whatever ails you. Back with Dr. Terry Walls and Pam Colleen in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 90. It is an absolutely stunning, shocking, jaw-dropping suggestion that no matter what your disease, you can eat your way back to good health through good nutrition. So my question to you before we get to back to Dr. Terry Walls, Pam Colleen, is this. Okay, what do these have in common? These are the big killers. Heart disease, cancer, as of last week, Alzheimer's moved from number 7 to number 3, and diabetes. What do they have in common?
These are modern diseases caused by our modern diet. These are new diseases, Andy. When explorers looked at primitive cultures who were eating, maintaining their traditional foods, you didn't see these kinds of chronic diseases or mental disorders in society. These diseases surfaced as we started switching over to industrialized, modernized, newfangled foods.
I could have added bad teeth to that because we've had a discussion about that. Dr. Walls, I wonder if we can ask you just to make a quick comment about eating your way back to good health through each of those. Let's start with heart disease.
Again, diet and lifestyle, big drivers. So eating a more nutrient-dense diet, cutting out the sugar, white flour, eating more vegetables, berries, meats, fish, will have very helpful changes on your inflammation markers, on your risk of clogging of the arteries, and on the effectiveness of the heart muscle contracting.
Okay, so as I'm...
You could expect it to regress and open up any blockages in the vessels.
So as I move to cancer, I'm thinking your answer is forget the chemotherapy, go with radishes, rutabagas, and red beets.
The decision about chemotherapy is going to have to be made with the their treating physician. But certainly... eating a organic, nutrient-dense diet, getting more low glycemic index, more towards a ketogenic diet will be helpful. We have several studies here at the University of Iowa that are using ketogenic diets with a wide variety of cancers with very successful early data.
Alzheimer's?
Lots of information that a diet high in sugar, high in carbohydrates increases the insulin level. Insulin competes with the enzymes that clear toxic proteins out of the brain. And so the higher your insulin levels, the higher the risk of early dementia and tangles, circulatory tangles in the brain, abnormal proteins called tau proteins. So eating more vegetables, getting your carbohydrates from non-starchy vegetables and berries, and ditching the grains, simple starches, will be very, very helpful.
Okay, and one more really, really big one, that's obesity and diabetes.
So certainly in my clinical practice and in our clinical trials, when I get people on the Wallace protocol, the most common side effect for anyone who's overweight is that they lose weight without being hungry. They have more energy, more vitality, happier moods. Getting your carbohydrates from vegetables that are non-starchy and berries, meats, and healthy fats, so animal fats or olive oil, is associated with better body mass, better weight, more energy, more health and vitality. Obesity is a problem of a high-carb diet and toxic fats.
Now, you must... go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, you must have been excited the other day to hear about the World Health Organization's numbers with regards to reducing our sugar consumption as well.
Oh, thank God. You know, it's time we begin to recognize that sugar is an addictive compound. It stimulates the release of dopamine in our brain, increasing pleasure, increasing attention. And particularly when we allow companies to market sugary foods to our children, we're making our children addicts to a very harmful compound instead of teaching them to eat vegetables, berries, and a health-promoting diet. We're letting our children be taught to eat a high-sugar, disease-promoting diet. That's why one in three kids now, or one in two if they're African-American or Hispanic, at least in the U.S., are destined to become obese and diabetic as children or young adults.
Okay, doctor.
That's catastrophic.
Doctor, this may be the toughest question of the whole hour. There are a lot of moms and dads listening, and part of the challenge of going in this direction is feeding your children and feeding them something that they like. Could you now put on the hat of mom or dad talking to their children who are in grade 5 and 6 and giving them the Sermon from the Mount on the importance of good nutrition, eating good foods, as opposed to what you find in the grocery store that's not touching the walls?
So I spend a lot of time talking about food to have more energy and feel more vital. So I purge out of the house harmful foods, and we have fruits, vegetables, nuts available, easy, convenient, and tasty. My kids' favorite meals, bacon and greens. That's their favorite way to get vegetables. And my daughter has a saying, there is no vegetable that bacon can't fix. we laugh about that, but if you saute some onions, garlic in coconut oil, clarified butter, or rendered animal fat, then add in your greens, stir them around till they're wilted, they taste wonderful. And I predict that your kids will love them. I also reassure moms and dads that taste is an acquired thing, and you have to present the food multiple times. Eventually, we get acclimated to the taste, are very comfortable, and we'll really enjoy the taste. We need to talk all the time about how important food is to our bodies, to our brains, to our health, and how much we love this food.
Okay, when
our
I was talking about the when I was talking about the kid in grade 5, I was actually talking about wives who are nutritionally aware, talking to their husbands like me, who had a breakfast this morning of steel-cut oats with hemp hearts, chia seeds, a little honey, a little milk. How high on your scale does that rate?
Well, on my first level diet, the Walls diet, that would be okay. On the Walls paleo diet, you get to have that kind of meal twice in a week. On the Walls Paleo Plus, we take the steel-cut oats, and I have you have instead bacon and greens for breakfast and some protein, such as a fresh steak or fish with that.
Ah, bacon and eggs, that's what we alternate it with. When you say greens, what do you mean, bacon and greens?
So dandelion greens, kale, spinach, Swiss chard, So any dark green leafy vegetable.
I have a list in front of me of some bad foods, some of the foods that are probably on your list that you would have in your book. Some of the most offending foods, of course, would be sugar, vegetable oils, margarine, salad dressings, junk food, pop, pasta, bread, French fries, box cereals. Am I missing anything here?
Yeah, those are all things that we want very much to have be removed from the diet. You know, people contact me about superfood X, Y, or Z from the Amazon. And I stress, you want to get foods that are fresh, in season, local, and I give people the parameters to help organize their locally available foods according to our food plan.
Doctor, people
don't need exotic food from somewhere else.
People love bad lists. I love Pam's bad list. Give me your bad list. Bad foods you never
eat. Flour,
sorry.
White flour, sugar, vegetable oils, trans fats, foods fried in a deep fat fryer.
I talked to a naturopath once who said if it's white, don't eat it.
Well, but that would exclude garlic, cauliflower, and onions. So if it's a grain and it's got gluten in it, don't eat it. If it's a grain and it has gluten in it, eat it only twice a week.
What's this thing about gluten? Years ago, nobody even knew what gluten was. Now we have gluten-free stores popping up all over the place.
So gluten is a protein that in the genetically vulnerable person will be recognized by your immune cells as an invading organism, and so you'll mount a very aggressive response to that. And about a third of us have the genetic vulnerability to get turned on. If you have a high sugar diet, you're more likely to have harmful sugars leading to harmful bacteria and yeast in your bowels, leading to the leaky gut, leading to sensitization to gluten. And once sensitized, you're always sensitized. There are many, many people who have gluten sensitivity who do not realize it. And that's part of what's driving the excessive inflammation and the push towards chronic disease in that person.
Now, your message is a message of hope, and we're just finishing up here, so I think we should leave it with a message of hope here. What do you have to share with people who are dealing with MS or chronic diseases in general? Can you maybe share with us a few stories or something along that line?
Absolutely. I have thousands of people that follow me. We have hundreds of people who've reached out to tell us that their Parkinson's have been improved, their fibromyalgia has been resolved, the diabetes has resolved. The obesity also has resolved, that they've lost 70 pounds, 100 pounds or more, and have much more energy. Mental health issues are improved. And, of course, I have, you know, many, many, many multiple sclerosis people who've had, are discovering that their energy is coming back, their memory and moods are coming back. We have many people who have sent images of their MRIs showing resolution of their abnormal lesions.
And your book is being released today on Amazon. And congratulations on that, by the way. This is a very exciting day for you. And I know you have a whole full schedule of interviews today. But your book is called The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine.
Now, and let me invite the listeners to go to my website and download the free materials that we talk about in the book. And that's at terrywahls.com, T-E-R-R-Y, Walls, W-A-H-L-S.com. Lots of great resources for the listeners.
Are you having a teleconference tonight? Is it tonight that you're doing something?
Actually, tonight we're having a book release party, so we're very excited about that. Tomorrow afternoon I'll be doing a Ask Me Anything on Reddit, so I encourage people to go do that. I've done a couple of Facebook chats on my Facebook, the Walls Foundation, so people can go there and go back and look to yesterday evening's chat and see, I think, about 200 questions that were asked and I commented on.
Doctor, in 10 seconds, people are about to go out for lunch. What should they have? What should they not have?
Have greens. Have a source of protein. Don't have French fries. Don't have anything with sugar in it.
There we go.
Great advice.
Doctor, enjoy that party tonight. You deserve it after all the hard work. Dr. Terry Walls, who went from the wheelchair to good health through nutrition. She's a living example of what she preaches. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you.
What an amazing story. You've been there. You walked through the same valley.
It takes a lot of work. But the trouble is, again, the information. People have got to get the correct information. A lot of the information I got when I was sick was incorrect. I was just happy to get the correct information finally.
And what did you say to that guy who said to you the other day, I hear you on the radio all the time. What are you selling? What are you selling?
You know what we have to do here, Andy, is we have to create a sustainable food system and a sustainable healthcare system. Right now, what we have is completely unsustainable. And the only way we're going to turn this around is through grassroots education.